It's the next gear on podtech.net. I'm Matt Kelly. We're here at the Alternative Fuel Expo in Anaheim. I'm joined today by Tony Martindale. He is CEO of Connaught Technical Center. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have two businesses, really. We have Connaught Engineering Limited, which is a retrofit hybrid technology company, an IP company, which we're looking to roll out into the US in the next 2 to 3 years. And we also have, on the other side of the business, the Connaught Motor Company, which we are launching our Type D GT product into the UK market this year. And that comes in either V10 supercharged or V10 hybrid.
And high speed hybrid.
Absolutely.
Sports car.
You got it. With four seats.
Wow.
0 to 60 in 6 seconds, 140 miles an hour plus. It's not blistering performance, but when you realize you return over 42 to 45 miles per gallon on the combined NEDC cycle, it's a great performance and economy balance, you know.
Mm-hmm. So talk about the hybrid technology that the vehicle is equipped with.
It's a really interesting story. We almost accidentally became a green car company. It was back in 2002 when we were setting up the business and we were trying to work out which sort of niche sector we wanted to put a vehicle into. We decided we wanted to be best in class for performance and economy balance. And we designed a whole vehicle that was lightweight. It had to be four seats, a true 60 GT. But we also wanted to achieve, as I say, over 42 miles per gallon. And the way we did that was I then threw that over to my engineering team and said, right, go and come up with some solutions. And we've got our own 48 volt, sort of a mild hybrid system, which is patent protected with the drive to the engine. And it delivers a great compact package with its direct drive to the crank via CVT, 48 volts. We use supercats, we don't use batteries. So we've got a system here it's just not architecturally dependent on the vehicle. And that's really exciting. And this is where the engineering side of the business comes from now. We're just really rolling that out in commercial vehicles as well. And that really is exciting times.
The marketplace is starting to get a little more crowded. More and more of these vehicles are gaining mass appeal. How does your vehicle compare differently and perhaps as you see it better?
I think the real focus for us has always been that we came at it from both a performance point of view, but we also came at it from a commercial viability point of view. That the fact of the matter is, if you're developing a car or a technology, you need to ensure you can actually sell it and make a profit on it. And we have developed this system that is scalable from pretty much any powertrain, you know, subject to package constraints and subject to being able to actually get the cam data and a few other technical issues. But in principle, you can take our 48 volt motor, we can take our CVT drive system, we can couple it to any form of powertrain in the world, drive it via the crank, and you get 20-25% fuel economy benefit.
Are you doing regenerative braking on top of that at all?
All hybrids are regenerative braking systems. There has been an issue in the last 12 months where people look at hybrids as a short-term stopgap for other alternative fuels, and it really annoys me because hybrid technology is going to be here forever. Why would you just not save the energy that you get from braking, you know? Mm-hmm. Whether you're hydrogen powered, you just use less hydrogen, you know?
The promise that you're talking about to me with this vehicle is that it's immediate, you know, and that it can be long-term.
I completely agree. And the beauty of the hybrid technology that we use is that we now have a commercially viable solution that we are working with a number of blue chip companies in the UK on diesel powertrain. So we've got diesel hybrid, you can go biodiesel hybrid. And for example, you look at Tesco, which I know are launching over in the US at the moment, they're a huge UK company. They have what we call in the UK home delivery fleets, where you order your groceries online, they have stop-start cycles. You know, we're showing that in July, when we actually get the demonstrator fleet out there in the marketplace, that they'll be getting 20%, you know, fuel saving. But the system costs mean they actually physically save millions in fuel alone, net of the cost of implementing the system. And the commercial viability argument is now such that, why wouldn't you do it? You know, like I say, it's immediate, it's there. It can be done, and it can be done in a cost-effective, real good commercial sense, you know.
Talk to me about Connaught Motors for a moment and the structure of the company and the challenges is that they've probably faced being a small entrepreneurial startup.
Yes, it's always been a rocky road, especially in the UK, where the automotive sector from a manufacturing point of view is not an easy way to go and earn a living.
And it's unfortunate because it has such a rich legacy with so many brands that unfortunately are no longer around.
That's right, that's right. And we always based our company, I was co-founder of the company back in 2002, and we cherry-picked a team from Jaguar, Land Rover, Aston Martin, people we'd worked with in Ford and the other large OEs. And really what we took the best guys, where the inertia in the large corporations is such that you can't get the innovation to really move. So we took the guys that have got an entrepreneurial flair and spirit, but are also, you know, the best in their field for engineering capability. And we formed the company on an OE, a large OE structure, but with a very, very small team. So for example, we have the full part number systems were laid down in the early days. We did full market research. We did a full styling suite, full virtual reality, full CAE approval, usual virtual series work. So we became a virtual company in the very early days. And for example, we did 25 crash simulations on the vehicle before we cut any metal, you know. And the cost of doing that analysis now are such that for a niche manufacturer, you can actually go and apply it in a relatively cost-effective manner now. And the vehicle design was, you know, the market was four seats, true GT, best-in-class performance and economy balance. But how do you actually go and get a car with an OE level of finish and fit that everybody expects these days in a niche product, you know? And that was another challenge. And how do you fund the program moving forward? And we basically got private equity in the business. It's still a privately owned company. We are, you know, under budget, but the vehicle doesn't have significant capital expenditure, which is the key thing to get these things to fly. An example, you take the chassis. It's stainless steel. It's laser cut flat sheet. And it's just folded and welded, and then we bond an aerospace composite tub, front to back, one piece, 4.5 meter composite out of the aerospace industry, working with 3M on these bonding technologies. And we have a mild steel superstructure, and then we have a mixture of carbon aluminium body panels, which are very, very lightweight. So the whole vehicle weighs less than a metric ton. You know, it's the same size as the new Audi TT.
How soon do you expect this vehicle to be, you know, available to the masses on a mass scale?
Yeah, well, you know, the one thing you do when you're looking at the way you're going to physically make this car is we don't want to be going and making hundreds of thousands of these things, you know.
Are you taking pre-orders? What's really going to drive the production of this vehicle?
Well, the production, we've just relocated to Wales, hence the reason we're on the Wales stand today. Wales is a really interesting place. The dynamic there is excellent. The supply chain is fantastic. And we already have a number of suppliers from Wales anyway, so it made a lot of sense to relocate the business to Wales. We're doing a £12 million investment program into Wales. We're setting up our manufacturing facility, which will be online for the volume vehicle in around about July 09. In the short term, we'll be doing 250 vehicles a year up until that point, and they should be rolling off the production line around about November this year.
And what are we looking at for a price point?
It's 65,000 UK. Mm-hmm. We basically like to say we've got a Jaguar.
That's about 90,000.
About 90,000 US. Mm-hmm. We have a Jaguar price point, but Aston Martin exclusivity. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where we are.
There you go. Your final thoughts on the Connaught and its impending arrival at a showroom, hopefully near our audience.
The UK is great. The first year will be direct supply from the factory. We've got a number of dealers lined up, UK and Europe. So left-hand drive versions, of course, because UK's right-hand drive. Left-hand drive into Europe by the end of 2008. And we will be looking at getting federal and EU homologation tied up all together in that process. And we've got a number of people in the US that, you know, the demand in the US is huge, you know, but what I'm always concerned about is making sure that we can look after our customers, because the one thing we want to do is really make buying a car a nice thing to do rather than the horrible experience it can be at times, you know.
Tony Martindale's CEO of Connaught Motors. Pleasure having you on the podcast today. We'll look for the arrival of the Connaught around November of this year.
Yeah, sure. And you know, the vehicle will be out there in all the magazines, getting the test drives. And you know, we always like to get feedback from our customers and potential customers.
Great. If you have one here in Southern California or in the San Francisco area, let us know. We'd love to let our community in on the experience as well.
Yeah, sure thing. No problem.
For the next year, I'm Matt Kelly on podtech.net.